Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. How's your day going? Yes, indeed. I'd like to know, how is it going? Those of you in the parts of the country where you're still getting some snow, are you loving it? Are you tired of it? Are you ready for the snow to go away for the year? We're into the month of April. I'm kind of guessing that a number of you who really do like the snow would be okay with it being gone, since we're midway through April already. Almost midway. We've had some reprieves here. We've had some days where it's been a little chilly, but we've also had days where it has been nice and warm. In the 70s, sometimes up into the mid 80s, and then we may have some days that bring us back down to the low 50s. So on the one hand, might leave you saying, I wish it would just be consistent. I wish the weather would make up its mind. On the other hand, you might be saying, you know, where the temperatures are up and down, well, you know, I'm glad we have the reprieves rather than it just be cold, cold, cold the whole month. I imagine some of the plants are a little confused too, because, you know, we had some warm weather. Certain parts of the South, we had some warm weather kind of early in the year. Kind of gave you the impression that we might be getting an early summer, early spring, early summer. I think some of the plants may have been thinking that, but I know some of them weren't fooled by it. I was checking out some dogwoods in the neighborhood, and they didn't start blooming back in February when we had all that warm weather. No, they did not. Mm-mm. Those dogwoods were doing in February what they were doing in December and January. They were laying low. And then I guess it was about the last week or two that they finally started blooming. Oh, they weren't being snowed, if you will. Well, how's life going? When people are striving to let some of life's best moments flow through them into your life, are you letting it happen? Are you cooperating with them? Or are you resisting letting some of those best moments flow into your lives? It's interesting how sometimes we can reject some of life's best moments by really aiming for the pleasures that we should not be bringing into our lives. While we shoot for we reach for the pleasures that we should not be bringing into our lives because of all the drama that they bring with them. And then those simpler, sweeter pleasures that won't bring any drama with them. So often we have so many people decide those are not the kinds of pleasures that they want. So they reject those pleasures. The pleasures could be just as intense. Just don't bring any dark drama with them. But because they don't bring dark drama with them, you got some people who will reject those kinds of pleasures. And so they don't truly let some of life's best moments into their lives. Oh, they let some pleasure into their lives, no doubt about that. But it's a dark, sinful pleasure that has consequences. Whether those consequences are experienced right now, or whether those consequences are experienced years from now, whether those consequences are experienced throughout eternity. Or whether they're experienced now and throughout eternity. Whether the consequences are experienced years from now and then throughout eternity. And it's interesting that there's no guarantee that just because people will experience consequences right now, that they'll get their act together and decide, hey, you know what? I'm only going for the best from here on out. The clean, pure, pleasant experiences that bring me happiness. I'm only going for those. Forget about all this dark stuff that brings consequences. No, there are plenty of people all around the world, including across this country, including in this state, in this city, all around the world. You have people who are only going to go for the dark pleasures, or the dark pleasures and the beautiful pleasures. And then you have some who are only going to go for that which, you know, primarily going to go for that which does not bring dark drama with it. And I tell you, life is so much better when we significantly reduce the drama. But there are a lot of people who don't believe that. They are sold on the idea that getting whatever pleasure they want, whatever way they want to get it, when they want to get it, is the best way to live. I guarantee you, Eve wishes she had not listened to that serpent, would rather now she had not listened to that serpent who encouraged her to eat the one fruit, the one fruit from the one tree that our Creator told her not to eat from. I guarantee you, Adam would have preferred to have listened to his father rather than having listened to his wife, who told him, hey, disobey your father, disobey God. Go ahead and eat some of this fruit that I just finished eating, this fruit that he told us not to eat. They both knew what it was to lose a son to murder, when their older son murdered their younger son based on his own jealousy and resentment. Oh, is anybody here listening know anyone who has jealousy and resentment in their hearts towards someone who has never done anything to them? They know, Adam and Eve know what it is to lose a child to murder when their firstborn murdered their secondborn. Actually, as a result, not only of the jealousy and resentment and even hatred that the older son, Cain, had in his heart towards the younger son, Abel, but as a direct result of the fact that Adam and Eve passed sinfulness into the nature, the personalities, the nature of their children as a result of their own sin. They made a decision to go about the business of getting their pleasure the way they wanted it. And it brought some dark drama into their lives that they did not foresee. And that's the way life works. You don't always foresee what's going to hit you, or how hard it's going to hit you, or when it's going to hit you, or how long it's going to hit you. That's something that I've been sharing with you all for a while, off and on for years now, when I pointed out that sometimes we can make bad decisions and it's almost as though we never made the bad decision, in the sense that we may not suffer any repercussions whatsoever in this lifetime. At other times we make bad decisions and we may feel a little bit, you know, we may get a little kickback, some repercussions from it. It may only last a little while. It may not be intense, but it's there. The repercussion, the consequence is there. At other times we make bad decisions and we may really feel it. And it may be a few months before we get over paying the price for that bad decision. At other times we make bad decisions and we may spend the rest of our lives, and I do mean that literally, spend the rest of our lives paying for those decisions, those bad decisions. And then you take it to the highest level, the most intense level, where we've made bad decisions, plural, and we pay the price, we pay the consequences throughout all eternity. Not worth it. I'm telling you, not worth it. Okay, so I want to encourage you to live a lifestyle. Develop a lifestyle of letting some of life's best moments, those experiences that are clean, pure, wholesome, helpful, instead of dark, dirty, destructive. No. Avoid those like the plague and go for the pleasures that are pure and yet truly enjoyable. Let some of life's best moments come to you. Let some of life's best moments come through you. Stop spreading poison and contamination into other people's lives. All right. It's Thursday. We are going to take a look into the future. And BBC is helping us explore this whole matter of the world going digital, possibly, as we take a look at a particular country where the country has gone digital. Now, let me ask you this. What country do you suppose we're going to be exploring as we look into this whole issue of a country that has gone digital? Do you suppose, okay, what continent? Let's start there. What continent? I know some of you are thinking probably America, because it's tempting to assume that we really are on top of things. We're probably at the head. We're ahead of the curve when it comes to technology. And so our country has got to be the one that has gone digital. Okay. How many of you say, no, probably not America, because you're thinking about some of that advanced anime that Japan has done and other ways that Japan and other countries have actually been ahead of America when it comes to technology. Oh, really? Okay, so where are you thinking? How about this country in Europe? Estonia. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Estonia is going digital big time. So that's it. Let me ask you this question. How do you kill time when you are experiencing a long, boring wait? Do you do that by scrolling through your phone, reading the news, checking email, Instagramming, tweeting? We have, maybe we're waiting in the line to fill out a form for a job, or we're waiting in line to fill out a form for a driver's license, whatever it might be. One of the questions asked about that is this. Why can't we fill out whatever form we're filling out on our smartphone? I mean, we're using the smartphone to tweet. We're using the smartphone to read the news. We're reading the smartphone to do so many things. Play music, listen to movies. Why can't we use the smartphone to fill out forms, the forms that we wait in line for to fill out? In 2017, the year of cashless payments and fingerprint locked gadgets and handheld video chatting. In that year, why couldn't we do whatever government related tasks that we needed to do online? Again, for example, completing governmental forms. Why couldn't we in 2017, at a time when we can video chat and do so many other things online with our smartphones or our desktops, whatever you want to use, why couldn't we complete government-related tasks online in one place and in one fell swoop? Well, in Estonia, a nation that only has 1.3 million people, that's where they're moving. This is the country that gave birth to Skype. Did you know that? Great pop quiz question, right? Skype came from Estonia, is what they're telling us. And the same country has been pursuing a 100% digitized society with laser focus. And they've been focusing on that since the 1990s. In America, this isn't a bad thing, but talking about that curve, we're still working to have cities totally connected. Cities, they want to have the entire country 100% digitized. And that's what they're moving towards. Now, granted, I've already pointed out to you that we're talking about a nation that only has 1.3 million population. And so you know we're not talking about a nation that has as many people, nor as much land mass, etc., as America and some other larger countries. But still, they're working to get that done. Experts far and away agree that Estonia's online government initiative, an effort that's called E-Estonia, is the world paragon for how a government can successfully and conveniently move the bulk of its services to a single online platform. The eEstonia website says that the program is the evolution of the e-state. It was launched in 1997, and it lets the citizens file taxes online. They've been doing that since 2000. 95% of Estonians file taxes online. Their eEstonia website also allows Estonians to obtain medical prescriptions and test results. It lets them sign documents, even vote, and allow foreigners to become e-residents. All of that online. I want to ask you, how is that sounding? I mean, voting online. Don't have to go to the polls and stand in line. Obtaining medical prescriptions online and more. Today, the information is stored inside the country, according to Anna Piparo, who's a spokesperson for eEstonia, but they're working on a governmental cloud that will be backed up in Estonian embassies around the world. Oh, they're serious about this. We'll be right back.